From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. We have begun a series of studies in Paul's Epistle to the Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of the Let the Bible Speak radio ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought taken from Faith's Checkbook by C.H. Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is entitled, Always Growing. The text is found in John chapter 1 and verse 50. Thou shalt see greater things than these. This is spoken to a childlike believer who was ready to accept Jesus as the Son of God, the King of Israel, upon one convincing piece of argument. Those who are willing to see shall see. It is because we shut our eyes that we become so sadly blind. We have seen much already. Great things and unsearchable has the Lord showed unto us, for which we praise His name. But there are greater truths in His Word, greater depths of experience, greater heights of fellowship, greater works of usefulness, greater discoveries of power and love and wisdom. These we are yet to see if we are willing to believe our Lord. The faculty of inventing false doctrine is ruinous. But power to see the truth is a blessing. Heaven shall be opened to us. The way thither shall be made clear to us in the Son of Man, and the angelic commerce which goes on between the upper and lower kingdoms shall be made more manifest to us. Let us keep our eyes open toward spiritual objects and expect to see more and more. Let us believe that our lives will not dribble down into nothing, but that we shall be always on the growing hand, seeing greater and still greater things, till we behold the great God Himself, and never again lose the sight of Him. If you have been blessed by the beautiful sacred music which forms a part of Let the Bible Speak, you may obtain a CD containing a sampling of these Christ-honoring selections. Entitled Our Great Redeemer's Praise, this CD will provide you with nearly an hour of such beloved pieces as Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, Be Still, My Soul, May the Mind of Christ My Savior, and In Heavenly Love Abiding. These songs are performed by the various musical groups of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. This CD is available free of charge to our Let the Bible Speak listeners. To obtain a copy, you may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may call 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Ask for your free copy of Our Great Redeemer's Praise. Call or write for your copy today. In the Epistle to the Romans, the Apostle Paul explains the meaning of the gospel of Jesus Christ in all of its fullness. As Dr. Cairns emphasized in his first message, any preaching of the gospel that is not based on Paul's exposition of it in Romans is not biblical. Paul defined the gospel of Jesus Christ as the gospel of God. There is only one gospel presented in the Holy Scriptures, and any message that departs from this is not the gospel. Now here is Dr. Cairns to continue this message called The One and Only Apostolic Gospel.
Here in Romans, Paul, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, while he's writing a pastoral epistle, he's writing as a pastor. He's writing with a burden for the saints of God, that he may lead them into a deep knowledge of what they are and have in Christ. Well, that is true. Yet, he is giving the most precise, if we could use the word, the most scientific analysis of the gospel anywhere to be found in the Word of God. And here he defines it as the gospel of God. And I want you to keep that in mind as we proceed to consider it. Now, when he makes that claim for this message, understand what he's saying. What is this doctrine of release from the guilt of sin and being clothed in righteousness without doing anything at all to merit it, but by faith alone in the merits of Christ alone, whereby His righteousness is imputed to you? What is this doctrine? It is the gospel of God. It is not something on the periphery of the Christian revelation. It is not something that is secondary in the Christian revelation. It is the very essence of the gospel of God. And it is impossible to be preaching the gospel unless you are preaching that Paul herein expounds. Now, that's easy for me to say. But I want you to know, because I am very much aware of what I'm saying, that statement nullifies the right of most of what is being preached in pulpits across the world today to be called the gospel. Understand that. The fact that a man gets up and says, I believe this Bible is the inspired word of God, does not mean he's preaching the gospel. The fact that a man can go down the list of statements of doctrinal truth that have been adopted, say at the World Congress of Fundamentalists, and I'm not saying that to denigrate that list. I helped to have it put on the floor and signed. And signed it myself. I'm all in favor of it. But the fact that a person can checkmark each of those great doctrines does not say that when he preaches, he's preaching the gospel. Paul is saying here, this is the gospel of God. He's being very narrow. If you want, he's being very intolerant. You'll find as we go on that that's a mark of truth. It does not tolerate error. And it does not tolerate deviations from itself. This is the gospel of God. Now, having made such a claim, it is very natural that he should immediately take great pains to establish his authority for teaching it. And so he introduces himself. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. Paul, if anyone could speak of the glory and the power of this gospel, surely it was Paul. Paul was the very last one you would ever expect to hear preaching a gospel of grace through faith without any merit of human works whatsoever. Paul, by upbringing, by profession, was a proud Pharisee, steeped in a religion of works. And sure, there was a time when he was absolutely confident that he could satisfy God with his personal obedience to God's law. There was nobody among all the Israelites on earth in his day more religious than Saul of Tarsus. Describing himself as he was before his conversion, Paul said, I lived after the straitest sect of our religion, a Pharisee. I lived after the narrowest definition of a Jew. I was a Pharisee. In Philippians 3, verses 5 and 6, he gives his pedigree. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, an Hebrew of the Hebrews. As touching the law, a Pharisee. Touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. That was his testimony. Looking back in those days, as we'll discover when we get to chapter 7 of this book of Romans, chapter 7 and verse 9, he looked back in those days and he says, I was alive without the law once. In other words, he was saying there was a time before the law of God did its real work of convicting me. There was a time when I was at ease in my conscience, in an imagined state of goodness and security. There was a time when I sat back and I could say, I am blameless. I keep the law of God, and God must be mighty pleased with me. That's where he was. But the gospel destroyed all such fancies. Once God showed him the full force of the law, we're not going to get into that tonight in detail, but it's interesting, the part of the law that God used, thou shalt not covet. I think I could make a good case that the breach of that one commandment is the basis of every other breach of God's law. But certainly God convicted him on this particular command, thou shalt not covet. And Paul realized that the law went beyond what he did with his hands. The law went beyond where his feet took him to the synagogue or to the temple. The law went beyond what he said. And it went to the very depths of his being where no one could see. And it made him understand that despite all his religiosity, there was a heart in him that lusted after sin. And then it dawned on him what we call the spirituality of the law. It dawned on him that the law was not external. The law probed to the very depths of his being. And all at once, the man who said, I was alive, I felt completely comfortable. I felt completely at ease with myself. I felt rather proud of myself. Suddenly he realized he was a vile, filthy rascal. As he later described himself, the chief of sinners. Once the law did its work, it put an end to all his self-righteous sense of security. He saw his sin. And in seeing his sin, he saw his need of a righteousness that he knew he could not provide. He saw them. This is the glory of the grace of God. He saw them that God provided the righteousness that he needed in the person and through the merit of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now he stood justified, declared righteous by God in the light of his law, through faith in Christ alone, without any works of his. So Paul is saying, look, this is a gospel I have personally proved. This is not a theory. This is not some academic talking to you. This is Saul of Tarsus converted to Christ to be Paul the Apostle. I have proved this. My own heart and life. That's why he immediately goes on to describe himself as the servant or bond slave of Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus was his Savior and his Lord. He's saying, in effect, that he owed everything to Christ's work on his behalf. And thus, this is the important part, thus, the gospel he preached had to be all about Christ, who he is, what he did in his life, in his death, and in his resurrection. Paul knew very well that the Jewish rabbis spoke glibly of human merit. He knew that they even described circumcision, the sign of the Mosaic economy. They described circumcision as equivalent to obedience to the entire law of God. That was in many ways, a very comfortable and easygoing religion. Circumcised at 8 days old, equivalent to keeping the whole law. Anybody could have a great righteousness if it's defined like that. But Paul realized this religion of human merit is a man-made religion. God never gave any such message to either Jew or Gentile. And Paul had abandoned all such follies. Now was given over to teach nothing but a pure gospel of justifying grace. And he did so by Christ's command. Point he's making here is, I didn't invent this gospel. I am a bond slave of Jesus Christ. I didn't invent this gospel. He gave it to me by direct and definite revelation. Writing to the Galatians, which in many ways is a companion epistle to Romans in that it deals with the doctrine of justification rather fully. But writing to the Galatians in chapter 1, verses 11 and 12, he says, I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of or by me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, that is, by any man, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. This is the remarkable thing about Paul the Apostle. There was no apostle who taught him the gospel. Nobody led him into the depths of this understanding of the gospel. He never spent an hour in a Bible class where anybody expounded it. He said, I never received this from man, but I received it by the revelation of Jesus Christ. And that's why in Romans 1 verse 1, immediately he goes on to say, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, a called apostle. A called apostle. That's his testimony. Christ appointed him as his apostle and set him apart. Notice the words, separated unto the gospel of God. Christ called him as his apostle and set him apart to take this gospel to the Gentile world. It's interesting to me that the New Testament notes a threefold separation of Paul by divine grace. In Galatians 1:15, he said, God separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. Then secondly, Christ separated me unto the gospel of God. That's the force of Romans 1, verse 1. When he met Paul on the Damascus Road, he spoke to him and he gave him his commission. We read a little of this at the communion table this morning. But in Acts 26:17 and 18, the Lord Jesus said unto the Gentiles, now I send thee to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them that are sanctified by faith in me. And after that, he goes on to make the statement we considered at the communion table, that he had continued in obedience to that, teaching nothing but what Moses and the prophets did say, that Christ should suffer, that he should be the first that would rise from the dead, and that he should give light to the people of Israel and to the whole world. It was Christ who separated him unto the gospel. God separated him from his mother's womb. God's Son separated him as a preacher unto the gospel the day he saved him. And the Holy Spirit confirmed this to the church in Antioch. We read in Acts 13 verse 2, he said, separate unto me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them. So Paul testifies, it is this authority that I am claiming.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We are here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcma.org. That's www.fpcma.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.